Good morning, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You're already out of Hawaiian time?
Yeah, Becca's probably just getting up right now. That's my daughter, and she does live in Hawaii. I can get this thing hooked. Maybe I'll be doing better. Hooked and then on and then. All right, got it hooked. Is it on?
Yep.
All right.
Either that or you got a real heart problem.
I did at one time, Pastor. Have a heart problem. Not that kind, though. How many of you were here last time I preached? Everybody, huh? All right. Who remembers what it was? Nobody.
It was about money.
Crickets.
No, that's just where it
started. That's what I started with.
I think it was from the Bible.
Oh my word. Yeah, go ahead. That was part of it, yeah.
Heroes.
Mighty men.
It's coming back. You guys are starting to remember some of it, yeah, maybe. Great.
Who are you?
That's good. Well, last time I was up here, I said something that was not in my notes and that I know better, but I made a mistake. And for the last 3 weeks, it's been driving me nuts, but apparently it hasn't bothered you guys at all. You can't even remember what I talked about.
See, we let it go
a long time. You let it go? That's good. I don't know how to take that, really, to be honest with you. You guys not listening to me?
No, we do listen.
I
don't care what you say, just say it quick.
I'm getting to that. Hey, you see what I got today?
You got a rate.
I did.
You're just going to have to keep preaching about
nothing. That's right. Maybe I'll be able to make as much as Pastor does. This one right here is from the Cheapskates, the Vadises. And this one's from my lovely bride.
She gave me back your own money.
That's right. We've already had this conversation multiple times. It's not your money. It's not my money. It's our money. So I really just got a 10 back. I was singing before the service started to myself, and I do that a lot. I like to sing. I've done it in front of churches before. I haven't in a long, long time. Bob walked up to me while I was singing, and I stopped, because that's normally my response. I'm not very good, and I want to put that out as a precursor, just like my preaching. It's bad, and I'll probably get more money next time, but I'm going to have you turn to 110. I'm going to sing a little bit of a song I've sang before. And I really would like it if you would join in with me. We're going to sing probably just one verse, depending on how good it sounds. I also want you to know my wife has been sick, and I think I'm getting it, so my voice is probably not 100%. But Sweet Hour of Prayer is something I've sang before. It was a long time ago with my children, sang in front of the church. It was an encouragement that my children sang with me. And if you ever have the opportunity, I know that the last couple of weeks we got to hear these young ladies sing, and it was a blessing. Tim's heard me sing before, so he, I'm surprised he hasn't got up to leave. I'm going to start singing, and then if you will join in whenever you feel like it, that'd be great. Sweetheart of prayer, sweetheart of prayer, that calls me from a world of prayer, and bids me at my Father's throne, with all my wants and wishes known. Thank you for joining in. All right, so since nobody really remembered what I spoke on last week, you won't remember that I told you that I was going to speak on what I'm going to speak on today. It wasn't last week, I'm sorry. The last time I preached. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2, if you'll turn there. 2 Timothy, that's where we're going to start out at. 2 Timothy 2, verse number 2. Paul is writing to a young pastor. I don't know exactly how young. Some people will say that Timothy was in his 40s, which would be just the decade that I just left. So he gave Timothy some instruction as a new pastor, and some of the things that I think that we as churches need to go back to is to do what Paul was telling Timothy to do. And that's the reason why I was in Timothy, the reason why I've been reading the pastoral epistles, why I stopped at this verse, because of the term in there, faithful men. You're probably looking at the verse, 2 Timothy 2:2, and it says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Now, last time I spoke, I talked about faithful men, and I told you that there are a lot of faithful women in the Bible, and I told you that this time I'm going to be talking about faithful women, because there isn't a church around that doesn't have faithful women.
That's right.
Amen.
Oftentimes the women are more faithful than the men are.
That's right.
To be honest with you, it's a rarity that you find more men in a church than you find women. You'll never, in my life, I've never, and I'm sure that it happens, I have never seen a guy come to church that he's married to a woman that doesn't come with him. But I've seen a lot of times where women will come to church and her husband sets foot in church.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times. And that's a sad testimony, but it's just the way it is. You know, this week this is like a little side note real quick. This week I went out to my shed, and my shed is where I keep all my tools and stuff, okay? And my shed is not organized like Pastor Haynes' garage is. Now, you guys know Pastor Haynes, right?
Yeah.
Pastor Haynes, very organized, right? Have you guys experienced that yet? Let's just say my shed is an embarrassment. I know where everything is. I've had people call me and say, you know, can I borrow this or can I borrow that? And I'm fine with that. I don't have a problem with that. This is what I normally do. I call my daughter. I say, Libby, go out to my shed. And I tell her exactly where it is. And she goes and grabs it. And then I put it out on the porch for them. And they come and they pick it up from me off on the front porch if I'm not home. If I am home, then of course I get it. And then let them borrow it, but I don't ever let anybody go in my shed, because it's kind of an embarrassment to me. Now, last year it got even worse, because last year I was very busy. God blessed me last year with my business, and I was very busy, so there was a lot of times that I would just, I come home and have, you know, 30 things on the back of my truck, and take them off, and I just throw them in there. And it got to the point where I couldn't even walk in there. Mm-hmm. Pastor, you know what I'm talking about? No. Now, I'm not going to say this to embarrass him, but it might a little bit. I've been to Pastor Haynes' house. Everything's all perfect. Except his desk.
Yeah.
And he omitted. I walked in one day and him and I were talking about a little issue he's been having at his house. And I'm like, Pastor, wow, your desk's a mess. He goes, yeah. And he has notes all over the place. He goes, hey, I was thinking about, you know, I write things down when I want to look them up. And then, so everybody has that little spot that they don't want somebody to see. And that was my, my shed, shop, whatever you want to call it. Well, I walked in there Thursday. I didn't have anything going on Thursday. So I walk in there, I'm standing there in the middle of my shed, and for about 15 minutes, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, this is crazy. I let this get out of control. And then I started looking at it and saying, you know what, sometimes this is the way your life is, Mike. You let things get out of control, and you're trying to sweep them back, and you don't let anybody see it.
Come on.
And God beat me down with that a little bit. And I wonder how many of us could say the same thing. You got a shed in your life that you don't want anybody to see. You're embarrassed of the way it's turned out. Now, my shed isn't organized to the point that Pastor Haynes is. But that is my goal this year. Because one of the things that I found out by organizing my shed is that I have 6 hammers and hundreds of drill bits. I mean, literally hundreds of drill bits. I have so much junk in there that it's just duplicate after duplicate of duplicate, because, you know, sometimes I just can't find it. It's not where it's supposed to be, so I get frustrated. Instead of going and organizing it, I go and get another one. How many of you got junk in your shed? Maybe it's not useless junk, but it's junk in your shed that you haven't dealt with. I can say probably all of us are like that, every single one of us. Even Pastor Hain, having as organized as he is, he still has a little spot that's a mess. And that's just an area that he may never deal with. And that's sometimes, that's what Pastor was talking about today, when we have that sin in our life, that sometimes it's just that junk that we don't ever want to deal with it. And we just have a messy desk. Everything else looks good. Everything else is in order. But we got a messy desk.
Come on.
Let's talk about faithful women now, okay? We're going to talk about the first one. We're going to talk about Sarah. You guys know who Sarah is, right? Who is she? Come on, tell me who she is.
Abraham's wife.
Abraham's wife. What do you guys think about the first thing you think about Sarah?
She called her husband Lord.
Oh, thank you. That's good. How many of you ladies call your husband Lord? Oh, never mind. Don't answer that. How many of you call him sir? No, don't answer that either. What else do we think of about Sarah?
She laughed.
That's good, Pastor. What else?
She was used by Abraham to save the whole skin.
What's that?
She was used by Abraham to save his own skin.
Save his own skin? Mm-hmm. Okay. What else? What did she do with her handmaid? Mm-hmm. What'd she do? What's that?
She gave her unto Abraham.
She gave him unto Abraham? Why was that? Why did she do that?
She didn't believe she could have a child.
Or did? I can't hear you.
That's what I said.
Okay. Yep. Well, that's the first couple of things, and Miss Tanya kind of stole my point about Sarah a little bit. And we will turn to 1 Peter. That's where that reference comes from. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. And I need to get my Kindle on and go on here so I can get there too. You know, oftentimes we think of Sarah as the, you know, she laughed because God told her, she was an old lady. I mean, an old lady. That she was going to have a baby. She never had one, such as she was going to have a baby. And then we also think of the sin of her jumping in front of God and saying, okay, God says this is going to happen. I don't believe it's going to happen the way he says it's going to happen. So I'm going to give my handmaiden to my husband. And that didn't work out so well either, did it? It's still not working out so well over in the Middle East, is it? Now, I thought of Sarah because of what Peter wrote about her. Not the bad things that we think about her, but what Peter wrote about her. And you know, some people may not think that this was a good thing with Sarah, but I mean, Peter thought that she was a godly woman because that's what he said. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, it's talking about husbands and wives submitting to their husbands. It says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wise, while they behold their chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being subject unto their own husbands. And this is where it comes to Sarah. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, not afraid with any amazement. He said that Sarah was a holy woman. So even though she made some mistakes in her life, God uses her as an example of what a holy woman is to be, for you ladies to follow. I'm not purporting that you start calling your husband Lord at all. I'm not even talking about Sarah because it talks about submission in this passage. I just want you to know that Sarah made some mistakes, and God still used her testimony.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And we as Christians, not just the ladies, but the men, even though we make mistakes, God can still use our testimony. We have to be faithful. And Sarah was faithful. Or she wouldn't be mentioned again by Peter. She was faithful. She was called a holy woman. Okay, let's talk about the next person. Anna. Anybody know who Anna is? Huh? Oh my word, somebody actually remembers. That's awesome. Do you know where it's talked about? It's in the Gospels, but Luke chapter 2. It's two verses long. Luke 2 is where we're at. And you guys are working your way there. We're going to be in 36. I said two verses, I meant three. It says 36 through 38. Once we're there, 36 says, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God. Let me read that again. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instance gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So we know who she is. She's a prophetess. Do we know that she's old? Now, some of you old folks are in here. Can you still hear me? Bob?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I got it.
Okay. She was old. You want to know how old she was? Look there in the verses. What did it say? She was with a husband for how long? 7 years? So what? Take a guess how old she was when she got married. Just give me a number.
16.
Huh? 16? I hear 16. What else?
16.
16, 15. Okay. So if she was 16 years old, she was married for 7 years. So she was 23. And then how long was she in the temple for? 84. 84 years. So 23 and 84, how many years? 107 years old. Even if she was married at 14, that means she's 105 years old. And what was she doing? What did it say she was doing? In the temple. Serving God. Praying and fasting. Listen, old people. Can you hear me still? There's only a few of you in here.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how old you are.
Amen.
You understand that? It doesn't matter how old you are, you can still serve God.
Amen.
Now that verse in my Bible, my very first Bible that I was given when I was 16 years old by my parents, probably the one thing that they actually gave me that I cherish.
Amen.
Is my King James Bible. That was one of the first verses that I underlined in my Bible, was verse number 38. And it said, she came in that instant and gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. Now, you know why she came in? Does anybody know the backstory of this? What was going on at that very moment? That's right. Jesus was being presented to the temple for his 8-day, according to the law, right? It's 8 days, right?
Am I right, Pastor?
For circumcision, more than likely, right?
Yep, circumcision.
And being presented to God. Even though he was the Son of God, he was being presented to God.
Right.
Because he had to fulfill the law. And Anna was there. And what does it say she did? She gave thanks unto the Lord, and that's a capital L. So she was thanking God the Father for seeing baby Jesus.
Amen.
And then the part that I highlighted it for, thanks, and as I see here, she was thankful unto the Lord, and then she spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. I'm a 16-year-old young man. I just got saved, and that was my goal when I was in school and around everybody, was to tell everybody about Jesus, because I had seen Jesus Christ face to face. Anna had seen Jesus Christ face to face. She was faithful. She was 100-plus years old, and yet she's still out telling people about Jesus Christ. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Now you think about that. I'm not saying you guys are old, but a lot of times old people start thinking that my ministry's done. And hers wasn't.
Nope.
They can still pray. You can still encourage people. You can be a blessing. Sometimes just being here,
come on,
is a blessing to us, younger people, to know that you've been living the life for this long. That you're still faithful to God. That you're still praying and fasting. But you're still thankful to God. And you're still willing to witness. And if that was one thing that I got to be a blessing of when I was down with Terry Ireland, was listening to him share the gospel with those that he's seen. Handing them a track and saying, you know, if you want to, you can come to church and you can sit with me. I mean, that was an amazing thing. I don't see that very often anymore. I want to tell you this. I was saved when I was 16 years old. That was 34 years ago. The first time I ever heard the gospel was when I was inside of a church building. I never heard it outside the church building. And that's a shame to us as Christians. Because we're not sharing the gospel with those out there that need it the most.
Yeah.
I never was handed a tract. I never heard somebody tell me about Jesus Christ. How many of you have the same testimony? It wasn't until you were inside the church building that you heard about Jesus Christ. I don't want you to raise your hand. Now you think about that in your own life. As men and women, are we being faithful, spreading the gospel? Are we as excited as Anna was? There are people out there looking for redemption. They're looking for something better. They're not finding it out there.
That's for sure. Yes, sir.
We have the answer. But if we keep it in between these four walls, and this is the only place that we ever hear it, shame on us.
Yes, sir.
Shame on us. She was excited about Jesus Christ. She's 105, maybe 107. She might be even 110. Now, I know that we think of the Bible times that you know, people live to be 900 and some years old. But this isn't the case. This was after the flood.
That's
this is
right.
After,
yes, sir.
After
That's right.
God said we're going to live 70. That means 70 years. So God blessed her with long life. And she's still faithful with her long life. Let's talk about the woman at the well. The story of the woman at the well is found in John chapter 4. We'll turn there real quick. You know, I'm not trying to be hard on you guys by any means with my preaching. I'm preaching to back at myself just as much. I don't share the gospel like I should, even though I'm talking about faithful ladies. I'm not sharing the gospel like Terry Ireland does. I've been with Pastor Hain and gone out to lunch with him, breakfast with him, dinner with him. Pastor Hain always, and I mean always, leaves a track.
Amen.
I've never been with him when he hasn't left a track. And I'm not patting you on the back, but I am kind of.
Amen.
I don't do that. Shame on me, right? How about you guys? Can you say the same thing? Are you following Pastor Haynes' example when it comes to that? Are you being faithful? We have the answers, folks, to life's problems. Peter said that in 2 Peter chapter 1, that God's given us all the answers to this life. To life and godliness, all things that pertain to life and godliness, God has given it to us in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we're not sharing it. And you know something else? Think about this. I went to church in a church building every time the doors were open, and sometimes when they weren't, because I went with people that were freaks, I thought. They had a key to the church, so they could get in whenever they wanted to. And I'm like, what in the world? 2.5 years I was there. 2.5 years listening to the gospel preached to me. 2.5 years listening to every time the youth ministry was talking about Jesus Christ. Every time the teenagers were talking about Jesus Christ. And there were some teenagers that actually talked about Jesus Christ in that church. 2.5 years. I'd go to the release classes at our school, at our public school, when they had release classes. You remember what those were?
Oh yeah.
We used to be able to go, and they had all the ministers from the area come in, It was a free-for-all, basically. Anybody could come, the Catholics, the Methodists, the Episcopalians, probably the Jehovah's Witnesses were there, the Baptists were there. The pastor of the church that I was going to with my friends, Pastor Kewins, probably some of you remember him, was the Baptist pastor that came in. So I got to sit there and listen to him. January 20th, 1983, it's Wednesday afternoon. While I'm in school, at a public school, God flipped the switch on. And I heard the gospel, finally heard it, for the first time in my life. And I knew that I needed to get saved. 2.5 years, guys. I say that because there's a lot of us that may hand out a tract once in a while. We may witness to somebody, maybe 2 or 3 times. And we get frustrated, discouraged, we give up, we don't think that anything's going to happen. And just think about that if Pastor Kewin would stop preaching the gospel because Mike Falk was in the church services and I didn't listen and I didn't hear. But he didn't. Neither did Mike Batt or Terry Batt or Judy or Jeff Baxter. These are people that were in that church at the time that had an influence in my life. The sad thing is nobody outside of the church still in those 2.5 years ever witnessed to me.
Thank God for those people.
That's right. Thank God for my faithful friends' parents that said, if you two are going to hang out, then you're going to come to church.
Amen.
They let an ungodly boy hang out with their Christian young man. They let us be friends. I mean, we were best of friends. I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
And his mom right now is suffering from dementia. She probably won't even remember who I was. But God used that family to touch my heart. It's an amazing thing, isn't it?
Amen.
We're in John chapter 4. We're not going to go through this whole thing. We all know the story of the woman at the well, right? I'm telling you, the thing that amazes me most about this whole passage is verse number 4. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and it says here, in verse number 4, it says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Man, I'm telling you what, I've spent a lot of time just wondering what that verse really means. Why did he have to go through Samaria? We know that Samaria wasn't, Jews and Samaritans weren't very friendly with each other, were they? We know that. I've said it before in my preaching, pastors said it. They weren't very friendly with one another. There wasn't a love relationship there. Even his disciples in another place said that, well, let's go and we'll just die. Wasn't it who was it that said it? Thomas, right? Said, if you're going, I'm going. We forget that about Thomas. We think about him as just being doubting Thomas. But he was willing to go and die with Jesus Christ. It says it must go through Samaria. So he could have a divine appointment with the Samaritan woman. You know, she was not a good woman. How many husbands had she had? Huh? 5 husbands. And she was living with a guy. She's an upstanding Christian young lady, wasn't she? In a lot of churches nowadays, she probably would be. Was it just to save her that he had walked through Samaria? It wasn't driving through. Back then, they didn't drive. He had to walk through Samaria. Was it just to save her? Or was it because of her testimony going back to her city? Not town, her city. And everybody knew who she was. They knew that she wasn't the upstanding young lady that she should be. But her testimony was strong enough that the whole city came out to speak to Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? And not only did she get saved, but it says many of that city got saved in this passage. Many. All right, so I want to wrap this up. I could have gone through several other faithful women that are in the Bible. I could have talked about Ruth and Esther and several other women that are mentioned, but I didn't. I chose these three for a reason, because I think that it is a good example of the human beings that we are in the church nowadays. There's a lot of old people that live in the church. There's a lot of people that try to get ahead of God like Sarah did. There's some people that are old and think that their ministry is washed up. They don't have the energy to do the things that they used to do. And sometimes we think our life is so messed up, like the Samaritan woman, that there's no way that God could ever use it. Pastor Hayne asked me, what was some of the things that you enjoyed besides the weather with going down to be with Brother Terry? And I said it was good to see a couple that are not on their first marriage in full-time ministry. And there's a lot of people that look at somebody that's been divorced and remarried as being unqualified.
Yeah, that's right.
This woman would have definitely been unqualified to be used in the ministry. But God used her to reach her whole city. Sarah's being reached, being having a testimony even now. And every time somebody reads 1 Peter, they're going to see her testimony that she was a holy woman. That she called her husband Lord. And I'm not purporting, I don't want anybody to think that ladies should call their husband Lord. Not that it's a bad thing to have that kind of respect and reverence for your husband. But he needs to really step up to the plate to be that kind of man.
That's right.
Abraham was that kind of man at the end of his life. He had the faith to walk up on that hill, a 3-day journey with his son, knowing that his son could be the sacrifice that God asked him to do. Had that kind of faith. How many of us would have that kind of faith? That's the reason why Sarah called her husband Lord, because he had the kind of faith that God wants us men to have. How many of us are being faithful like Anna? After we see Jesus Christ face to face, we're going out and witnessing. We're telling everybody else that needs to hear about him. The people that are trying to find the answer in the bottom of a bottle. Maybe it's an alcohol bottle, or maybe it's a prescription bottle. I mean, that's the big thing nowadays. We've legalized drugs by doctors writing prescriptions for people. And some of them are in our churches taking those medications to dull the pain. We need to know our Jesus. They need to know that little baby that Anna held or looked at or seen and got so excited that she wanted to go out and tell everybody. Everybody that was looking for a redemption. Step outside those doors right now. I guarantee you there's somebody out there right now that needs to know about Jesus Christ. You probably work with somebody, or you know somebody, your neighbor. Are you being faithful? Are you being faithful? Not just in sharing the gospel, but being a testimony. Are you being faithful enough that God could use you as a testimony like he did Sarah, to say that she's a godly woman, to say that you're a godly man? Because if we're not, we're hindering the ministry of God. And maybe it's better that you stay inside these four walls and keep your mouth shut. Or get your life straightened out, one or the other.
Yes, sir.
We are never going to have our name written in this book. This book's been written. But I want it to be said of me, Mike Falk, and I'm sure that you do too, when we enter those heavenly gates, either by rapture or death, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Maybe you wonder why I've spent so much time on talking about faithful men and faithful women. Because my next message, hopefully you guys remember what I talked about this time. Faithful women, remember that? Write that down in your head. Write that down. Faithful women, faithful men. You know what? Pastor stands up here and preaches to us all the time. And I don't know about you guys, but I try to remember that stuff. It helps me in my day in and day out life. I don't remember it all because I don't have a photographic memory. I got a pretty good memory, but don't ask my wife that question, though, because she'll tell me I forget my name sometimes. I remember all the important stuff. As Timothy was talking about in this verse, faithful men. And he also means faithful women. Paul told Timothy in that verse that you're to find faithful men and teach them things that I've taught you. So Paul must have thought that Timothy was faithful enough that he was willing to invest the time in him. Our pastor stands up here behind the pulpit, both of them, and preach to us the things that they've learned from God. Are we being faithful enough to remember what they said? I don't care if you remember what I said. But are you being faithful enough to listen to what they're saying? The man that God's anointed to be behind this pulpit, not Mike Falk, Pastor John Asquith, Pastor Roger Hain, when they stand up here and they share what God laid on their heart, are you listening to them? Are you saying, God, is that message for me? Or have I heard it 100,000 times and I don't need to hear it again? And sometimes when I listen to somebody share the gospel, you know, when they're up here and God's laid it on their heart to share the gospel, I'm thinking, I'm saved. I don't need to hear this message. But you know what? God pricks my heart and says, you know what, Mike? You need to just be thankful that I saved you. You need to be thankful that they're being faithful in sharing the gospel, because there might be a young person in this church, just like you were at Portville Baptist, that was unsaved and listen for 2.5 years to the gospel being preached. How many of the old people in the church then were thinking, Pastor Q, I don't need to hear this again. I've heard it before.
Yeah.
But Mike Falk needed to hear it.
That's right.
And I'm thankful that he was faithful. Paul told Timothy, find faithful men and teach them. My next admonition really is are you finding faithful people that you can teach the things that God has taught you? And that really goes back to, are we going out there? And it's not just sharing the gospel, it's teaching people that they're lost, that they need Jesus Christ, that the answer is Jesus Christ. Being faithful, not getting frustrated, not getting discouraged, not getting angry. Just share the gospel with them. Teach them. And God will bless it. I know a pastor right now that's exactly what he does. He does it all the time. And God is blessing his ministry. It's unbelievable. I don't agree with him on some things, but he's being faithful to what the Word of God says, and God is blessing it. God can do that here. This church could be twice the size it is if we just go out there and we start sharing the gospel. We start talking to our friends. Some of them are going to get annoyed with us. Some of us are going to say, I don't want to hear it anymore, Falk. I don't want to hear it anymore. I've heard it enough. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Don't give up. Don't give up. 2.5 years I had to listen to it before it finally sunk in. Some of you, it might not have been that long. Maybe some of you aren't as thick as I am. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for the opportunity that I have to stand up here. I know it's only because of what you've done in my life that I even have the right to be behind this pulpit, to share your word with these folks. Lord, I pray that maybe something I said today would be taken to heart, that the Holy Spirit would use it, the Holy Spirit would help the person just to mull it over. Lord, may we all be mindful that there are lost people out there dying, they're going to hell. We have the answer. We need to be sharing it, Lord. Thank you that I have a pastor that is faithful in handing out tracts all the time, and I can use him as an example.
Amen.
Thank you that you have allowed me to sit under his ministry for years. Just praise God for the man that you created, the man that you allowed him to become. Thank you for Pastor John's heart. Had the opportunity to be challenged in the way I look at people through Pastor John. I just thank you for that. Pray that we'd have a good day, the rest of the day. Keep us safe as we go home, Lord. Help us to have a burden for our neighbors. Every single one of us has a lost neighbor. Every single one of us has a lost relative. I just pray that each one of us would have the courage this week to tactfully, lovingly share the gospel with them, Lord. I ask these things in Christ's name, amen.